This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Mean that they also believe in Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. And we talked about all of this last week. And if you remember, we also mentioned that the third category of the Tawheed is Tawheed al-Asma wa sifat. Although al-Asma wa sifat is covered within al-Rububiyyah and Uluhiyyah, but the scholars have separated it from Rububiyyah and Uluhiyyah because of a lot of controversy, or unfortunately a lot of differences amongst the Muslim groups or the sects or those who call themselves Muslims when it comes to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we are going to talk about inshallah in today's session and also next week. Tawheed al-Asma wa sifat. Tawheed means oneness of Allah, al-Asma in His names. The word al-Asma, Asma is the plural of ism. The word ism in Arabic means name. Asma means names. And then al-Sifat, Tawheed al-Asma wa sifat. Al-Sifat, the word sifat is the plural of sifa. Sifa means characteristic or attribute. So Tawheed al-Asma wa sifat, the scholars have combined both together. Al-Asma wa sifat. Instead of separating it, instead of saying Tawheed al-Asma and Tawheed al-Sifat. It is both together. Why? Because there is very close link between al-asma and as-sifat, between the names of Allah and the attributes of Allah. There's a very close link between the two. And in today's session, inshallah, we'll be going through some of the basic principles with regards to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the tawheed of al-asma. And then next week, we'll talk more about as-sifat particularly. But for now, the very first principle with regards to Tawheed al-Asma wa sifat, believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His names and attributes, the very first thing we need to remember is that every single name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has its meaning, and it refers to the divine essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is in Arabic called Dhatullah, the Dhat of Allah, the divine essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as the attribute that is found within the name. For example, in order to understand, for example, one of Allah's names is Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, wa huwa al-Aliyyul Qadir, Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, the word Qadir comes from Qudra. Qudra means power. When we say one of Allah's names is Al-Qadir, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ultimate power over everything. So the word Qadir has its own meaning. And that meaning is the attribute of Allah. So when we say Allah is Al-Qadir, Allah has Qudra, what we have attributed to Allah, His power. We believe in the attributes. So this is every single name of Allah refers to an attribute as well. And there is no name of Allah that has no meaning, or there is no name of Allah that has no attribute. Every single name of Allah has the meaning, and every single name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an attribute. Such as Al-Qadir. Allah is Al-Qadir, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the Qudra. He has the power. Likewise, when we say Al-Alim, one of the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Alim, all-knowing. The word Al-Alim comes from Ilm. Ilm means knowledge. When we say Allah is Al-Alim, it means that Allah has knowledge. So we attribute knowledge to Allah. We attribute knowledge to Allah. Likewise, when we say one of the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Basir. Al-Basir, all seeing, all watching. So what we attribute to Allah? The ability or the power of seeing. And we don't say Allah has the name Al-Basir, but without a meaning. Why I'm highlighting this? Because there are people who do acknowledge and they do believe in the names of Allah, but without the attributes. They say Allah Al-Basir. And their understanding is that if we translate the word Al-Basir as all-seeing, it means that we are indirectly establishing the fact that Allah has eyes. And when we say Allah has eyes, it is as if we are resembling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or giving likeness to Allah. That Allah has eyes as human beings have eyes. But this is wrong understanding. This is wrong. It does not mean that you neglect the meaning or you refuse believing in the meanings of the names of Allah. It's simply, if you are called by a word, you are given a name, and you have no meaning of that name, would you like that particular name for yourself? No one. The name your parents have given you, if someone calls you with another name, with another word, and that word has no meaning, it has no meaning, would you like it for yourself? You won't. How is it possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so many names and those names have no meaning? It's impossible. So this is the very first principle with regards to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to bear in mind that every single name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Allah's divine essence as well as His attribute. When we say Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir means Allah. When we say As-Sami', by saying As-Sami', we mean Allah. By saying Al-Alim, we mean Allah. So all these names refer to Allah Dhul Jalali Wal Ikram. They refer to one single divine essence. And likewise, every single name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a meaning, including the word Allah. Does anyone know the meaning of the word Allah? Yeah, the word Allah comes from Al-Ilah, the only Ilah, Allah. And every single name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like this. So this is the first principle we need to bear in mind with regards to the names of Allah Dhul Jalal wa Ikram. And there is slight difference between the names and the attributes of Allah Dhul Jalal wa Ikram. And this is the difference is very important for us to understand the difference. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are going to mention some of the principles with regards to the names. But for now, remember, the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refer to the characteristics of Allah Dhul Jalal wa Ikram with which He subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Himself. Anything and everything that He subhanahu wa ta'ala has attributed to Himself, or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has attributed anything to Allah, that is known as attributes or the characteristics of Allah. For example, if you were to read Surah An-Najm, in that surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the end part of Surah An-Najm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. Allah is the one who makes people, who allows, who causes people laugh. وَأَبْكَى, and he is the one who causes people cry. So what is the attribute of Allah here? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to make people laugh, and he has the power to make people cry. But does it mean that we derive any name of Allah from these words? No, we can't. And we are going to talk about this principle a bit more in detail shortly. Likewise, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Allah says in the Quran that Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam. Allah spoke to Musa. So what are we attributing to Allah here? The power of speaking. Allah speaks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. And the speaking is attributed to Allah. So the attribute of Allah in this ayah is the power of speaking. In the previous ayah, the power of making people laugh. And the power of making people cry. وَأَنَّهُ خَلَقَ الزَّوْجَيْنِ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ تُمْنَى. If you want to read all these ayahs, you find many attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those ayahs. So every single name of Allah, as we said, every name of Allah contains an attribute of Allah. But not every single attribute refers to a name of Allah. I hope it is clear. Every name of Allah includes or refers or contains an attribute. Every name refers to an attribute of Allah. But it is not other way around. Not every single attribute of Allah, because there are attributes of Allah that have no names. For example, in this ayah, كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى. Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam. Is there any word, is there any particular name of Allah that is translated as speaker, mutakallim? No. But speaking, kalam, is an attribute of Allah. That is why Quran is called kalamullah. وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. The speech of Allah. The Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke these words. That is why it is our belief, the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah Ahlul Hadith, that we believe that every single word and every single letter of the Quran is spoken by Allah. That is why it is a great honor for the believers, when they recite the Quran, they are uttering the same words and letters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost spoke. And then Jibreel alayhi salam spoke those words and those letters. Likewise, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a huge and great honor. So every name of Allah refers to an attribute, but not every single attribute of Allah has a name. This is another principle we need to bear in mind. Likewise, the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said, refer to anything and everything that has been attributed to Allah. For example, in a broader term, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Fath, يَدُلَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. يَدُلَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Allah's hand was over the hands of the companions, Ridwanullahi al-Majma'in, when they gave bay'ah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is the attribute of Allah in this ayah? The hand of Allah. Anything that is attributed to Allah is called attribute. It is the sifa of Allah. The sifa of Allah, the attribute of Allah is that Allah has a hand. In another ayah, Allah says, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودِ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةِ. The Jews, they said, the hand of Allah is maghlula, is tied up. فَلْيَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ Allah says, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَ غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَلُعِنُوا بِمَا قَالُوا Instead, their hands are tied. وَلُعِنُوا بِمَا قَالُوا And they are cursed because of what they have uttered about Allah. That Allah's hand is tied. Meaning that Allah does not spend. Allah makes people suffer from poverty. This is what they said. As Allah says in another ayah, لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَا They said, Allah says, Allah have heard the bitter and the ugly statement of those who said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَا Allah is poor and faqir, and we are the rich and wealthy people. That is why Allah asks us to give in His way. And Allah Himself does not give to people. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ So this is what they meant by saying يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَ Allah's hand is tied. Allah says غُلَّتْ أَيْدِهِمْ Their hands are tied up. وَلُعِنُوا بِمَا قَالُوا And they are cursed because of what they have said. بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ In fact, both of Allah's hands are outstretched. So in this ayah, what we learn from this ayah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have one hand, rather He has two hands. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam confirms that. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also explained, he said, Allah has two hands and both of Allah's hands are right hand. It is not as we have right hand and left hand. And we use right hand for good things and left hand for cleaning or bad thing or something that is not liked. But this is not the case with Allah. Both of Allah's hands are right hand. But when we say Allah has hand, does it mean that we say or we believe that Allah's hand is like my hand or your hand with five fingers? And no, na'udhu billahi min dhalik. If someone believes that, if someone even imagines that, that is against the belief, the core belief. The problem is that when we establish the fact and we believe and we confirm that Allah has hand, those who do not believe in these attributes of Allah, they consider us mujassima. Meaning that we are giving limbs to Allah. And in their mind is, that when we say Allah has hand, we believe or perhaps we believe that Allah has five fingers and palm. We never say this and we have no authority to say this. When we say Allah has hand, we also have to confirm لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ Nothing is like Allah. When we say Allah has hand, it never ever in any form or shape means that Allah has hand like the hand of a mankind of a human being. How is it possible? Amongst the human being, two individuals can't have the same hand. What makes you to think that when we say Allah has hand, it means, oh, we believe that Allah has hand like this? No. Who said this? Who has the authority to say this? But unfortunately, since they consider that, they end up refusing, believing in these attributes of Allah. There are people there who believe that Yadullah does not mean that Allah has hand. Rather, they say hand is a metaphor. It is not in its real meaning. As we say, even in English, when you need someone's help, okay, you say, can you give me hand? When you say to someone, can you give me hand, you don't actually literally mean by hand, say, you know, hand, actual hand. Rather, what you mean? They help, their assistance. Or when you say someone has upper hand, meaning what? They have authority. Okay? So they say when Allah used the word the hand for Himself, actually Allah meant that Allah has power. Allah helps. But our reply, the reply of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah is, that there is no need to say this. Why? Why it is impossible for Allah to have hand? What's wrong with it? If Allah meant by hand, by using the word qudra, by using the word yad, if Allah meant by it his qudra, his power, his help, He subhanahu wa ta'ala could have used those words. It is clear in the ayat of the Quran. The Jews said, Yadullahi maghloola, and Allah replied back, and here, Bal yadahu mabsootatan. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also clear. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretches his hand in the morning, liyatuba musi'ul layl, so that the one who has committed sins in the dark of the night, he can repent to Allah. وَيَبْسُطُ يَدَهُ بِالْمَسَاءُ بِالْلَّيْلِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretches his hand at night so that the one who has committed sins and has disobeyed Allah during the day, he can repent to Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also used the word hand for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who knows Allah better than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No one else. That is why these are also the attributes of Allah. And we should bear in mind while we are talking about these types of attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said, no one has the ability or authority to describe these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying that these attributes of Allah are like the attributes of human being. Can't be, because He is Al-Khaliq and we are makhluq. He is a creator and we are created by Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, when we say Allah is Alim, Allah has the knowledge, and you say about an individual that so and so is the person of knowledge, does it mean that you have said Allah's knowledge is same as the knowledge of an individual? Na'udhu billah. No. It is clear. When we say Allah is Sami' as-Sami', He's all hearing. And the word Sami' is used in the Quran for human being as well. Allah says, فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. We made an insan, we made mankind, we made human being as Sami' and Basir. And as Sami' and Basir is Allah's attributes as well. But when we use these words as Sami' and Basir for human being, and we use these same names, same words for Allah, this means that we are making here the tamthil of Allah? Are we saying that Allah's hearing and Allah's seeing is same as the hearing and the seeing of human being? No. No way. Impossible. So when we believe in all these attributes and names of Allah, and we are clear that the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not like the attributes of human being, then what's wrong with believing in the hands of Allah, in the eyes of Allah? Allah used in the Quran, وَصْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. Allah said to Sayyiduna Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, create and make a ship بِأَعْيُنِنَا, in front of our eyes. When we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has eye, does mean that we mean that Allah has eye like the eye you and I have? No, na'udhu billahi min dhalik. We can't say this. But it does not mean we refuse, we say no, ayn doesn't mean the eye of Allah, Allah doesn't have eye. Why would you refuse that? You have to believe in those words. If you refuse believing in those words, it is as if you are refusing believing in the ayat of the Quran. That is why, this is the reason that the scholars have categorized this particular category of the Tawheed separately, and they have emphasized a lot on this. Tawheed al-Asma wa sifat, oneness of Allah in His names and attributes. Although Al-Asma wa sifat are covered within Al-Ilah, Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, but they have separated it in order to explain and emphasize on the significance and the importance of this. Another principle with regards to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is That is based on whatever we have said, that all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are tawqifiyyah. Tawqifiyyah. Tawqifiyyah means dependent on the evidence of the Quran or the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every single name of Allah must have an evidence. As we just said, you cannot derive the name of Allah from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if there is no name. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. You cannot make up a name of Allah from these ayat, from these attributes of Allah. If it is not permissible in Arabic, how is it permissible in any other language? So the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are tawqifiyya, meaning, and we must be clear on that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be called only by the names that He subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for Himself, or the names that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has used for Allah dhul jalali wal ikram. No one else has any authority to make up the names of Allah dhul jalali ikram or use any word and say we mean by this word Allah. I usually give an example of this. In Urdu language, the word Khuda is very common. Khuda. And if you say Khuda, what does Khuda mean? You ask anyone, those who use the word Khuda, if you ask them, what do you mean by Khuda? They say, Allah. Is Khuda the name of Allah? Did Allah call Himself Khuda? Did the Prophet ﷺ call Him Khuda? Is there any evidence? No. No doubt whatsoever. No one can bring any evidence. If you open that door, tomorrow someone else will introduce another word and you say, this is also the name of Allah. And because of not having that principle, people have gone astray. And that is why some of the Sufi scholars, they are of the belief and they openly on the stage, they say, there's no difference between Khuda, God, Bhagwan, this, Ram, all of them, they refer to one, which is Allah. La, la, la. No. We believe in Allah. And our belief is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for Himself the most beautiful names. The most beautiful names He has chosen for Himself. And no one has the authority to name Allah dhul jalali wal ikram by making their own words. This is another principle with regards to the names of Allah. That all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are tawqifiyyah, dependent on the evidence from the Quran or the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah belong the most beautiful names, so call upon Allah by those names. Use those names for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next principle with regards to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not restricted or limited to any number. This may be surprising, something surprising for some. Because the common concept is that Allah has 99 names. Yes? It's very common. Allah has 99 names. But the reality is that Allah's names are countless. They are not restricted to any number. Allah has many names. When we study the ayat of the Quran as well as the hadith of Rasulullah sallam, if we were to combine them, we come to know that within the text of the Quran and the hadith combined together, we come to know that there are over more than 100 names of Allah already mentioned in the Quran and in the hadith combined both together. So how can we say that Allah has 99 names? The misconception or misunderstanding came from the authentic hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is reported by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. in which he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna lillahi tis'atan wa tis'een asma man ahsaha dakhar al jannah. That anyone who learns, memorizes, and repeats 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be granted entry into Jannah. But does that hadith mean that Allah has only 99 names? No. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant is that anyone who memorizes 99 of the many names of Allah, he'll be granted entry into Jannah. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant. You'd say, what is the evidence that Allah's names are not limited to 99? The evidence is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an, that is collected by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. And the hadith is authentic hadith. Abdullah al-Mas'ud says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ma asaba ahadan qattu hammun wala hazan, that no one is ever afflicted by any grief, any sadness, or any calamity, except that when he says the following dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes his hardship and changes his grief and sadness into happiness. What is the dua? The dua, I'm sure all of you have heard this dua, and this is commonly read, particularly in the month of Ramadan, in Salatul Witr, many of the imams recite this dua. The dua is, Allahumma inni abduk, wabnu abdik, wabnu amatik, wallah, I'm your slave, I'm the son of your slave, and I'm the son of your she-slave. Nasiyati biyadik, my forehead is in your hand. Madin fiyya hukmuk, adlun fiyya qada'uk, your judgment regarding me has to come to pass. Adlun fiyya qada'uk, and whatever you decide, whatever you make the judgment with regards to myself, it is based on justice. As'aluka bi kulli ismin huwa lak, O Allah, I ask you by every name that belongs to you. Sammayta bihi nafsak, every name that you have named yourself with. أو علمته أو أنزلته في كتابك, every name that you have revealed in your book. أو علمته أحدا من خلقك, every name that you have taught to anyone from your creation. Not only human beings, any of your creatures. Any name, wallah, any of your names that you have taught to anyone amongst your creation. Which shows that there are names of Allah that Allah has not taught the human beings. The ayat of the Quran confirm this. تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ, seven heavens and the earth and every single creation of Allah between the heaven and the earth glorifies Allah. And Allah says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ, there is nothing, literally nothing, except that it glorifies Allah. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ, but you cannot comprehend, you cannot understand how they glorify. So Allah has taught them how to praise Allah. In another ayah in Surah An-Nur, Allah says, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, have you not seen that every creation of Allah in the heavens and the earth glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then he says, كُلٌّ قَدْ عَلِمَ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيحَهُ, every creation of Allah has the knowledge how to glorify Allah and how to offer their prayer to Allah. In Surah Al-Hajj, Allah says, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْجُدُ لَهُ, have you not seen that every creation of Allah in the heavens and the earth makes sajda before Allah? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the mention of few of those things. Man fi samawati wa fil ardh, wash-shams, the sun makes sajda before Allah. Wal-qamar, the moon makes sajda before Allah. Wal-nujum, and the stars, they prostrate before Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the mention of some of the objects on this earth. والشمس والقمر والنجوم والشجر والجبال والشجر. And he says, the mountains, they make sajda before Allah. Have you ever seen any mountain making sajda before Allah? We don't, we can't comprehend. Allah says, the trees, shajar, the trees, they make sajda to Allah. The tree is standing like this. But Allah says that they make sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So meaning is that what we learn from all these ayat, that every single creation of Allah praises Allah, glorifies Allah. They offer their prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we can't comprehend, we can't understand, we don't know. Same way the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, oh Allah, I ask you by every name that you have named yourself with, every name that you have revealed in your book, and every name that you have taught to any one of your creation. And then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam further says, أَوِسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَكَ. Oh Allah, I ask you by every name that you have chosen to keep it in the knowledge of the unseen with you. The names that you have not revealed to anyone. The hadith of the Prophet confirms that there are names of Allah that Allah has not revealed to everyone. Another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam confirms this. Now on the day of judgment, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be granted the permission to intercede on behalf of the entire mankind to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to begin the reckoning, at that point, in that long hadith, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when people will approach me and I will accept their request and I will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then I will place my forehead on the ground in the prostration in sajda, and I will remain in the state of sujood for 7 days, praising Allah. Praising Allah with the words of praise that I do not know in this dunya. Rather, Allah will inspire me with those names, with those words of His praise on the day of judgment. So how can we say Allah has only 99 names? The names of Allah are not limited to any number. Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he combined the ayat of the Quran as various ahadith of Rasulullah sallam, and he came to the conclusion that what we find in the text of the Quran and the ahadith of sallam combined together, we come to know that there are over 150 names that we find within the ahadith of the Prophet sallam and the ayat of the Quran. So this is another thing. The names of Allah are not limited to any number. And the third principle, principle with regards to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that all of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are beautiful. What do you mean beautiful? The beautiful, every name of Allah is beautiful. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. To Allah belongs the most beautiful names. Every single name of Allah has a meaning, and every single meaning is a beautiful meaning. Every meaning of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful, which means that none of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contain any negative meaning or meaning that is disliked. Rather, every name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful, hence it has beautiful meaning. And next principle with regards to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that calling others by the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala generally is impermissible with some exceptions. Calling others by the names of Allah, as you mentioned a few lessons a few weeks ago, that the one of the common mistake we find amongst the Muslims, that they call or they name their children Rahman. Rahman is the beautiful name of Allah. And if you understand the meaning, you come to know that it is this word does not befit a human being. Rahman, it befits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Because Rahman means someone who showers his mercy upon everyone without discrimination. How can a human being have such kind of mercy? Someone hurts you. Someone swears at you. Would you have any kind of mercy towards them? No. No way. Is this the case with Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows His mercy to those who associate partners with Him. He showers His mercy on those who do not even believe in Him. Those who do not believe in His existence, He still showers His mercy upon them. It is because of His mercy that they live the life of this dunya. It is because of His mercy that they breathe, they eat, they drink, they enjoy the life of this dunya. It is His mercy. That is why He's called Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman. So the general principle is that calling anyone by the names of Allah is impermissible with some exception. And there is a detail. Okay? And exception is they are names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that hold the meaning of perfection and might. Any name of Allah that has the meaning of might and perfection, that word or that name cannot be used for anyone other than Allah. As I just gave an example of Ar-Rahman, someone who is perfect in giving and showing His mercy. That is Ar-Rahman, Allah. And that is the name that holds perfection, that indicates perfection in mercy. And no one has the ability, no one. So no one should be called Rahman other than Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to name your child, call him Abdul Rahman and spell it one single word. Not Abdul and Rahman, Abdul first name and Rahman surname. No, it's one name, one word. Exactly the same way you spell Abdullah. You say Abd Allah. Have you ever seen anyone saying Abd, first name, Allah, second name? No. Rather, you say Abdullah. You know why? Because you know that Allah can be called only Allah. No one else can be called Allah. The same way, Ar-Rahman is only Allah. No one can be called Ar-Rahman other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So spell it together, Abdul Rahman. So that is the name of perfection. And these names cannot be given to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, As-Samad. As-Samad. As-Samad means the one who is self-sufficient. Completely. Someone who is not in need of anyone. Who amongst the human being can be such an individual who does not need anyone? No one. It is only Allah, As-Samad. Okay? And there are some other names. And one of those names, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has specifically highlighted by saying, don't call anyone Malikul Muluk. Malikul Muluk. Malikul Muluk means the king of the kings. The king of the kings is only one king, Allah. The real king, Malik. Malikin Nas. He is the one who is Malikul Muluk. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, the most hated name by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment would be the name of the person or the title of the person who is called Malikul Muluk, the king of the kings in this dunya. No one is king of the kings. It's only Allah. So the point is that those words and those names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that indicate perfection or might, that can be given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, and they are not permissible to use for anyone other than Allah dhul jalali wal ikram. Also, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are amongst the names of Allah that they are meaning wise, they are praiseworthy for Allah, but the same word is not praiseworthy for human being, such as the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Mutakabbir. Allah is Al-Mutakabbir. Al-Mutakabbir is the one. Al-Mutakabbir comes from Kabir or Kabura, Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The one who has the authority to be called greatest. This is how we translate the word Al-Mutakabbir, the supreme. Okay? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is why he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mutakabbir. He is supreme in every single way. He is supreme, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we use the word mutakabbir for anyone amongst the human being, what do you mean by this, mutakabbir? Someone who is arrogant. So, can you call someone mutakabbir? No, you can't. Although the word is the same. Likewise, al-qahhar. Al-qahhar comes from qahar. Qahar, when we use for human being, it refers to oppression and zulm. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word al-qahhar means all dominant. The one who has power over everything. So these kind of words, these names, are only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are other names of Allah that can be used for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as the names that are used in the Quran for human being. As he said early on, the word Sami', Basir, Alim, Ra'uf, Rahim, these words, but Ar-Rahim is Allah, Ar-Ra'uf is Allah, As-Sami' is Allah, Al-Basir is Allah, Al-Kareem is Allah. For human being, you can say Kareem, Hakim, Alim, Sami', Basir, Ra'uf, Rahim. So these words can be used for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without using the word, without using the letter alif lam, lamut ta'rif, that is known in Arabic grammar, without these. So the principle, general principle is that the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be given to anyone with these, some of these exceptions. And finally, the last principle with regards to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that it is not permissible to deviate in the names of Allah, to have deviation in the name of Allah. What is the deviation in the names of Allah? Deviation comes in many forms. Deviation in the names of Allah, one of the form of the deviation in the name of Allah is that you refuse accepting the meaning, as he said at the start, you refuse accepting the meanings of those names. This is deviation. So you end up refusing the meaning. You say Allah is a Sami. What is the meaning of Sami? We don't know. Allah is Al-Basir. What is the meaning? We don't know. Allah is Al-Hayy. Al-Hayy comes from Hayya, life. He's ever living. But you say Allah is Al-Hayy. What is the meaning of Al-Hayy? We don't know. You can't say this. This is deviation. Every single name of Allah has a meaning. Or another form of deviation is that you believe in some of the names of Allah, some of the names of Allah, and you refuse to accept the meaning of some other names of Allah. Because amongst the deviant sects are those who say that we believe and we accept all the names of Allah apart from these three or these seven. Okay? They have categorized themselves. But this is the deviation in the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another form of deviation is that as it used to happen in the past, and we don't know even if it is happening, even it does to a certain extent, it does happen now. In the past, those who worship the idols, they would name their idols taking their names from the names of Allah or some words from the names of Allah. This is a deviation. For example, the people of Mecca, one of the idols, they called that idol Al-Lat. Al-Lat. And they used to say Al-Lat comes from Allah. That is why we call this idol Al-Lat, because it has a close link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They used to call another idol as Al-Uzza. And they even used to name their children Abdul Uzza. Abu Lahab, Abu Lahab's real name was Abdul Uzza. Abdul Uzza. And Uzza was the name of the idol. And they derived the word Uzza from the name of Allah Al-Aziz. Okay? So this is deviation in the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, if there is any kind of similar words or similar name that you use for other than Allah, driving from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is impermissible. Unfortunately, they are Ghali Sufis, those who go overboard in praising the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have fallen into this type of shirk. And it is something that I'm not making up. Rather, this is something that is written in their books. Published. They say, Allah, one of the names of Allah is Al-Ahad. Al-Ahad. In Surah Al-Ikhlas, we have Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. One of the names of Allah, Ahad. And one of the names of the Prophet ﷺ is Ahmad. Yes, Ahmad. So they believe there is no difference between Allah and Muhammad apart from the letter Meem. A'udhu billahi. This is something that is written, published in their books. And they are the ones who call themselves Muslims. Deviation in the names of Allah. Deviation in the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's impermissible. Allah says in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah belongs the most beautiful names, so call upon Allah by those names. وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ. And leave those, or stay away from those who do ilhad in the name of Allah. Those who deviate in the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to understand His tawheed. Dhul Jalal Ikram, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us all in our knowledge. Innahu sami'un qarib mujib. I think we have gone over time, inshallah. So can we deal with the question next week, inshallah? Because next week will be those brothers and sisters who have posted the questions online. Please, if you remember your question, I will deal with your question next week, inshallah, Aziz. Jazakumullah khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.